I have an idea for a feature that should be on all new cars. Right next to the gas gauge, they should figure out a way to display the balance in your checking account. What do you think?
Mm.
A lot of people planning a summery weekend drive somewhere and thinking twice about it now, right?
Well, that gauge draw down faster than the gas gauge.
These days, yes.
Yeah, it's pretty painful. I went to fill up my car yesterday, and I could have bought a plane ticket.
Reporter in Lviv, Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine, is going to be doing some traveling this weekend. Joe, good morning. Well, good afternoon to you there. I don't know how much you can say about what you're going to be doing, but you're going to be doing some driving, aren't you?
Yeah, I'll be doing a good amount. I can't say exactly where until I'm live with you guys, and I can tell you where I will be the different points next week. But it's a combination of delivering supplies, and also I, as a reporter, want to go and see the situation from here in the West and going all the way to the east of Ukraine.
I was reading about Russia using what they call strategic aviation and reinforcing units in the south. According to the Ukrainian military, they are launching artillery and airstrikes on Mariupol, among other places. And you have mentioned before or told us about the unique missile defense system there in Ukraine. Tell us a little bit about that, how the military there defends against those Russian airstrikes.
Yeah, our media partner, Ukrainian media partners here, Tuvoya Misto, which means your city, last week interviewed several retired Ukrainian military officials and experts on air defense. So we could get a better picture. And this was in the lead up to May 9th, when we really were feeling that there was going to be a big attack on Lviv. And the air defense that Ukrainians have was described as a guerrilla system. It's not nowhere near as sophisticated, for example, as Israel's, which is very automated, or as systems developed by the Americans and the Norwegians. So it has really relied on constant Ukrainian intelligence. The air defense, the rockets are mobile, so they have to move them around the country depending on the nature of the threat. So in a sense, it is kind of a bootstrap operation, and it's amazing that Ukrainians have been able to be rather successful with that. But if you look at if this goes on for many more months and longer, Ukrainians say we really need a stronger, more automated air defense system. I don't think we'll know until after the war. Ukraine will not release the figures on how many missiles have been intercepted. There have been one report of 2,000 total missiles have come from Russia, but we won't have those numbers because they their strategy here is to be secret on that. There was in the past 24 hours a pretty good Ukrainian victory where there was a Russian battalion trying to cross the Donetsk River in the east near the city of Rubizhna, where there's been terrible fighting. By all accounts, I heard even weeks ago that it's been just a brutal place. The Russians had prepared the pontoons to cross the river, and the Ukrainians sort of were watching from the sky and waiting, and they struck the Russians, and it was sort of an amazing operation by Ukrainians. So we hear these news of victories, but still the Russians continue to. Right now, the Russians seem that they're very bitter, I think, about Mariupol. And they continue to pound that because the warriors in that plant still will not give up.
We hear a lot about how well the Ukrainian military is doing against that very, very huge Russian force. And back to that missile defense system, the expert there that you talked to, I know, described it as guerrilla. And I think that describes much of the warfare that Ukraine has been putting up, doesn't it?
Exactly. And I think as we, now that it's spring here and the forests are, filled in with greenery, everything I've been hearing for months through the winter is that once the sort of the foliage arrives, Ukrainians will have even a greater advantage because they know these mountains, they know the forest, and they can excel at being you can hide in a better way now. And so maybe we're going to see even more of this Ukrainian guerrilla warfare as they defend, right now, these battle lines in the far east of the country.
Mm-hmm. And I imagine that the news yesterday about NATO was met with a lot of happiness there where you are, Joseph.
Well, there still is a good amount of skepticism. For example, the French foreign minister, said, emphasized that there's, France and the G7 are supporting and NATO are supporting Ukraine. But the question is, why do Finland and Sweden so much want to get into NATO now? If Ukraine had all of the support it could possibly get from the West, then there would be no incentive for Finland or Sweden to join NATO. But they realize that being in NATO does make a difference. And that's something that, a difference that Ukraine feels now. And I think, especially here yesterday, a story emerged from, I don't know if you remember the attack on the Kramatorsk railway station, mm-hmm. April 8th, I think it was, mm-hmm. where civilians were injured. And yesterday we had a story here in Lviv, a mother and her twin children are being treated here at the hospital. And they each have lost different various limbs. Mm-hmm. And hearing that story, people say, there is still a frustration that, yes, the support that has arrived has been great, but there's a genocide happening and there needs to be greater action against this. And the fact that, even peaceful countries like Finland and Sweden are afraid, it means that Ukrainians, almost every Ukrainian I talk to would say NATO is not doing enough to really face this threat at this moment. And if you want, I could, it might be hard to hear, but I could read you an excerpt of what the mother of those twin children said. Yesterday.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I hope we never get numb to those horrors. We need to feel what you're feeling.
Well, she said, there were refugees on the way to the West, and they were being temporarily at this train station in Kramatorsk. And here was the mother's account of it. I did not hear anything at all. When I opened my eyes, I saw that our aunt was lying next to me with Yana, her daughter, upon her. People were around, very scary. I tried to get up, but how? I looked at my leg. I looked at Yana and saw that she was without sneakers, meaning she had no, her feet had been blown off. And then the little girl said, Yana said that she wanted to immediately get up to run away to find her mother and brother, but she couldn't get up and she felt enormous pain. She burst into tears when she looked at her feet, which were no longer there.
Just so heartbreaking and so horrible, but important to know. And also important for you to hear, I know you appreciate it when we share these texts and emails we get from listeners, Joseph. I want you to hear this from Marie. My friends and I are wearing blue and yellow outfits now in honor of Ukraine.
That's fantastic. And I think this is... those might seem like small gestures, but this, especially as we get into, third month and as this continues, that shows that the world is not forgetting. And, each little action like that is a way to participate, to participate in this, the battle against Putin and his regime. So thank you.
Well, we'll continue to support Ukraine. Joseph Lindsley, thank you. Talk to you Monday. Please travel safe.
I will indeed. Thank you, Bob.